everyone. Welcome to another cool episode of the Retro Rewatch podcast. I don't know where this went. My brain just went dumb. Retro Rewatch. It's where we rewatch retro TV shows and then we talk about it and have fun with it. And when I say we, I mean, of course, I have my partner in crime, Jeff Gamet, with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And Patrice, don't feel bad. Excuse me about getting a little confused about what show you're introducing. I mean, we've only done 75 episodes previous to this.
Yeah.
It takes a little while to get through, right?
Like 10 to 15 years, yes. Right. Yeah. By the way, I'm Patrice. Don't know if I mentioned that. So we are finally jumping into Stargate SG-1 again. We're jumping into season 4. Coming off a little stint of recaps, predictions, and some other fun shows that we watched. I hope you enjoyed those. And today we're going to talk about the conclusion of The Cliffhanger of Small Victories, Season 3, Episode 22. And no, Small Victories is this episode. What was it?
Nemesis.
Thank you.
It's okay, Patrice. That was last season. I'm not surprised you couldn't remember.
Yeah, it's Nemesis, correct. Yeah, I just had Small Victories in mind. Yeah, Small Victories is this episode we're watching, of course. So season 4, episode 1, Small Victories. That's the one. Wow, my brain is just not working. Anyway, good thing I have notes. So let's talk about that.
At least one of us showed up prepared.
Yes, I was prepared. So air date for this episode was June 30th, 2000 in the United States, which means that people had to wait, about 3 months, March 8th to June 30th. March, April, May, June. Yeah, about three and a half months. For this episode, so 3.5 months of not knowing how this would end. Would the replicators swallow Earth? What would happen to Thor? Is SG-1 fine? All of that, right? Didn't know. June 1st, 2001 in Germany, by the way, when this aired. IMDb rating 8.5 out of 10. Not a surprise. Good episode, I think. Mm-hmm. Written by Robert C. Cooper and directed by Martin Wood, with a special appearance of Martin Wood again, because he does the Don DeLuise thing and shows up as, but he only shows up as I think Sergeant Wood or something like that. Major Wood.
Well, at least his cameo. It's a recurring character he's created.
Yes, Major Wood. Also, little in joke. Guest stars we have, of course, the same as before. We have Colin Cunningham as Major Paul Davis. We have Gary Jones as Mulder Harriman, of course. Terrell Rothery gets her regular appearance. Love Always Dead. But then we have some Danshee as Sergeant Seiler, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have some Russian, I think, supposedly Russian sailors, submariners. One is Yuri Kiss as Yuri. He's a Canadian actor, later seen in Tron Legacy and Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you recognized him. Dimitri.
I did not.
Chepovetsky, I think, as Boris. He shows up as Bob Melnikov in Regenesis, in Red, in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So, also known. And of course, Martin Wood as an uncredited cameo as Officer Major Wood. Some trivia and awards I wanted to mention. So, the German title is, of course, Nemesis Teil 2, Nemesis Part 2, because very creative Germans came up with this title.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but we have a track record now. So I feel comfortable saying that feels so German.
That is 100% very German. Couldn't even come up with a good name for it. It was nominated for Outstanding Special Visual Effects at the Primetime Emmys and recognized at the Gemini and Leo Awards as well. So, good episode. And I can see why. And the reason for this is that it was an visual effects milestone for SG-1 because both Thor and the Replicators rely heavily on CGI. And previously, I mean, the Replicators not, but Thor was practical. So we're getting more CGI right now.
As I recall, you said Thor was actually a puppet.
Yes.
That was used in a different movie, and they just grabbed it and used it.
Correct. Yes, and then kept using it. Some scenes were filmed in and on a real Russian Foxtrot class submarine, which with, of course,
additional... I was going to ask about that.
They actually filmed it in, but some of the interior shots were built as sets, of course. It's just practical, more easy to do that because you can put cameras where you need to. You're not limited by the very cramped submarine. Submarines are not known for spacious areas where you can put cameras.
Right. But filming on the submarine, I mean, some of the scenes I'm watching, like, they have got to be on an actual submarine. Yeah. There's no way they built this set.
Yeah.
They could, but it would just be so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it gives, like, it's sometimes good to have that cramped feeling. It's just easier if you're in a real thing.
Yeah.
And it looks more real. There's some Thor and Carter anecdotes. So Joseph Malozzi mentioned that some of the funniest outtakes of this episode came from the Thor and Carter scenes here, including Thor ordering a mochaccino and getting slapped after goosing Carter, after touching Carter, all shot on the same control room set. There was a DVD interview that was published where Amanda Tapping recalled that while filming with the puppet, its arm brushed her bottom, her ba-dum-ba-dum, and she instinctively just slapped the puppet and then apologized to Thor before remembering that she was actually talking to a puppet. Yeah, it's like, you know, at some point it just feels real.
Right. Yeah.
If you're acting like it's real, at some point it just becomes real.
You know, people that have been on Sesame Street, guests, have said that they start interacting with the Muppets and forget that there's a person there with the Muppet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see her apologizing to the Thor puppet.
Yeah, so... stuff like that happens. But it also means that was still a puppet. It wasn't fully CGI. But some, you can tell, like, or you cannot tell. It's actually pretty good. But you know that some of the walking around scenes or whatever were done with CGI. It's just easier that way. Like, a puppet gets really difficult at some point. Like, that's why in earlier episodes, Thor is usually static, sitting somewhere, standing somewhere, something like that.
Yeah.
Not moving as much. Yeah, so that's it for now. We have I have some little things here and there as we talk about it. So should we just jump in?
Let's do it.
So we start with a Previously On, narrated by none other than
Christopher Judge.
Exactly.
He does the Previously On. I think, is it all the time?
I think always. Yeah, I think that's his thing. I mean, Thor, of course, we know, we didn't talk about it, but Thor, again, of course, voiced by Michael Shanks. So that's his thing. Christopher Judge gets the Previously On, I guess. He's the narrator. And now, the conclusion. So
we know there is a conclusion or wrap-up to the two-parter because, spoiler, they told us.
Of course they told us. So we start out somewhere deep in the ocean. It's a submarine. Guess a Russian one because they start talking Russian. There's something wrong with one of the torpedo tubes. We hear some clicking noises, whatever. There's two crewmen that are talking. Did you notice that the Russian, what they're saying is not subtitled?
I did notice that, which I thought was weird, especially because I watch shows like this with subtitles on in English.
Yeah.
And there were no subtitles at all. It said speaking Russian, and that was it.
That is a deliberate choice. Because, and I don't speak Russian either, so that's what I read or heard. Apparently, that was a deliberate choice. They wanted to keep, or the producers wanted to keep that as an in-joke. Because one thing one of the Russian guys says is, oh, maybe it's the bug from the last episode.
Okay, that's funny. So if you speak Russian,
you would probably understand it.
You get the in joke.
Yeah, and so they wanted to keep that kind of secret and hidden.
Well, that's a fun little Easter egg. Kept that.
Yes. So it basically translates roughly to what was that noise? Maybe it's the bug from the last episode. Yeah. So.
That's funny.
So they said more than that, for sure, but that was the gist of it. And turns out, indeed it is, and it attacks them, and in a very grueling scene, one guy gets sprayed acid, gets sprayed in the face. And dies.
Okay, right. I'm stupid. I didn't realize he was getting sprayed in the face. I thought he got face-hugged. like an alien, it was like killing him.
No, replicators
by grabbing
are not
his head.
Replicators are not face huggers. But they spray acid or something to dissolve the metal and then eat that, right? That we know from previous episodes.
Maybe he had a lot of fillings.
It could be. Maybe he had metal in his mouth and the replicator was like, yummy. But no. Yeah. So that is the cold opener. That's it. So very ominous. What's
very
going on?
Ominous. And I just realized there's no English spoken at all in the opener.
True. Oh, that's true. Yes, you're right. There was very little anyway spoken other than the two guys talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, no, technically not, because the previously on and so on, that's of course in English. But
okay.
nothing on screen acted that is not the recap.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah, but you're right.
I enjoyed this teaser opener.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was already amazed with the sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hooked. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Okay, we now we have Russians, which is always cool. And we have the facehugger. I know, the techno spiders.
Right.
And we know one of them survived, and now we see, one of them survived. How it ended up on the ship, who knows? Russians were probably circling around the debris because they wanted to figure out what's going on, which we hear about later, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I liked it, and I liked that we get this new thing going on where it's like, oh, well, now it's the Russians that are dealing with this, not the United States, not Stargate Command.
Yeah, which I think makes it a little bit more realistic because, I mean, the fact, there's a massive ship that crash landed in the Pacific Ocean. It's very unlikely that no other country, and especially not the Russians, I mean, especially in the 90s, or early 90s and early 2000s, that no other country would do anything about it or want to know anything about it, right? It's only the Americans. Right. No, that's not very likely.
Not very likely.
I mean, these days there would probably be planes and people streaming stuff on TikTok, so.
Yeah.
Drones, planes, and all of that. Automobiles, I don't know. So we go back to Stargate, to SGC now. Or more common grounds. We start out in the infirmary. To answer one of your questions, Daniel is getting checked out by Fraser. I was kind of wondering if that's the real Scarlet.
I was wondering the same.
It looked very realistic, so probably it was. I mean, he had his appendix taken out, so maybe that was a real scar, but Fraser checks him out and they chat about the second gate, which is a very convenient way of kind of introducing topics.
Right, reminding us about the second gate.
Yeah. Yep. There were technical difficulties getting it online. And Daniel is like, oh, if only Carter had been here. But of course, she's off-world, so she can't help. Mm-hmm. And then Fraser asks Daniel to take it easy for another. But she never finishes that because I think she wants to say a couple of weeks or something. Because, of course, there's an alarm and Daniel rushes to the gate room. I think he's ready to jump in. He's like, okay, I've been lying on my back for too long. I need to do something.
Right. That, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And look who's back. SG-1. Minus Thor.
Right.
We'll learn about that in a second. I think Jack says something. Well, it's about time. So they've been dialing home for about a week or so.
Right.
Which means I don't know how long they waited until they tried. I'm assuming that they didn't try right away, knowing that the gate was, of course, gone. So they were probably like, okay, we probably need to give it some time for the gate to be installed and set up and whatever.
Right. So they've been off world for more than a week.
More than a week, yes. Which also could explain something that's different about Carter and about Teal'c.
Yeah, and we need to talk about this a little bit.
Yes.
So Carter, she has a new do.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. A little bit.
And as they come walking through the gate, the first thing that jumped out at me was the mouse that was stuck to Teal'c's chin.
The mouse! Okay.
And not only does it look like he has a little mouse hanging off his lip, but it's a mouse that went to the hairdresser and got a dye job. And it looks absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, that is funny. That is hilarious. Yes, Teal'c has a small chin goatee. The fans kind of mark this episode as the informal debut of Goatee Teal'c. But the reason for it is quite simple. So Christopher Judge normally lets his hair and his facial hair grow out during like season breaks, hiatuses.
Mm-hmm.
So he did, and then he usually shaves it off before filming. But he also kind of had been pushing the team to have more hair because it's more convenient for him. I get that. Like, it's really annoying if you have to shave everything off because you're bald. Baby-faced person in the episode. I mean, actors do stuff like this all the time where they, whatever, grow hair, lose hair, grow weight, gain weight, lose weight, like all of that. They constantly do that. But in a longer running show like that, there comes the point where it just gets annoying to have to do that. So he had been pushing that and he came back with this little chin beard. I think he was kind of trying to push that. And they didn't want him to have hair, but they allowed, for the time being, the goatee. So they were like, okay, fine. We'll let you do that.
So
this is where this came from.
So Sam's hair, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Teal'c's chin mouse, no. And how is it that they've been off-world as long as they have, and Jack looks clean-shaven?
Well, maybe he shaves the entire time. Maybe he travels with a,
maybe
with
he a carries travel a razor. Shaver,
a razor, something like that, yeah. By the way, Carter, the Carter thing is, like, usually, the problem with episodes usually was that the seasons ended on cliffhangers, right? So you kind of, most of the time, there's a seamless transition, right? It's like one season to another, but it kind of picks up where it left off before. So you have to have the same, exactly the same haircut, exactly the same everything, right? Because it's supposedly the same time, even though it was shot, I don't know, probably a month or so, two, three, there was a break in between, right? Something like that. So, or sometimes longer, maybe. So that's always the problem. That like, when you're on your own time, you kind of want to do whatever you want to do, but then you come back and it has to be the way it was before.
Right, so, which makes sense.
Carter had wanted to grow her hair out a little bit more, and she did over time. You can see, like, if she's like from where she started to where she even was end of season three, it has grown out a little bit, and it's kind of it looks very different, but that's most the length is actually not that different. It's mostly that it was styled slightly differently.
Oh, that's okay.
It is slightly longer, but not that much. And said explained away by there were a couple of weeks at least. So that's the explanation for Carter's slight change. I like it. I have to say, I like her hair.
So do I.
Yeah, but it also sucks
from Teal'c's chin.
Yes, but it also sucks from a production standpoint or from an actor standpoint that you can never change your hair because you always have to, unless you want to wear a wig, which is even more annoying. You always have to basically have the same hair.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, they could do something like, like they did with Jack, where he's stranded on a planet for 100 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And then let you have, and then.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then but you can change your stuff.
On the season, on the like cliffhanger end of season, beginning of season, you can't usually. Oh, you could. And they kind of did that here, but usually you can't. So that usually the storyline could just continue seamlessly. So, yeah. Well, but in this case, it was a good choice.
Except for Teal'c.
I have to say one thing. I mean, yes, it kind of looks ridiculous, but I also like that it's change. He is changing. They're allowing him to change as well. Right? I mean, he's not a Jaffa Prime anymore. So, like, others can do stuff like that. Why can't he? And if you see Christopher Judge today, I mean, he has pretty long hair and a beard and everything.
Oh, I should look up pictures of Christopher Judge.
You should. It's fine. He looks. Yes. So going back, Jack kind of expected fanfare. Like, oh, where's the party? Where's the fanfare? Whatever. All he gets is a job well done, Colonel from Hammond. You know, it's military.
Yeah. Oh, you're alive. Well done.
Yeah, good job. Carter explains that Thor was retrieved on the planet. There was apparently a locator beacon. And then Jack is like, oh, yeah, I want to debrief you. But first, I kind of want to go and have a shower. And Hammond is like, permission to shower granted. In fact, I insist on it, Colonel.
which was funny. Yes. And Daniel's like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Daniel thinks there's something you wouldn't want to say anything.
All right, so I want to point out one of my predictions for the episode. I nailed it.
Yes.
They hand-waved Thor's recovery.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, they're an advanced race, so they can do that. So after the shower, I guess, Jack and Carter are in, I guess, Carter's lab, and Carter is looking at a replicator piece, a dead one. Jack is a little bit concerned about it because he's like, is that safe? And she's like, yeah, I mean, it's one, it's dead, or two, it's only two of them or something. So it's fine. And we get kind of a mirroring of early scenes in Nemesis, right? Jack wants to go fishing, and Carter is still staying at her in her lab to do some sciencey stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then Carter's like, "Yeah, I think I've had enough relaxation for a while, sir." Yeah, I mean, they've been stuck somewhere. I don't know where they went, but they've been stuck somewhere on a planet for a while. So I guess she's eager to go back, and Jack is like, "I want to go fishing." But then, and Jack leaves, and then Carter gets a call and rushes to catch up with Jack, like in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack remarks, he's like, oh, deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, it's not him getting beamed away. It is actually Major Davis is on the way because there's something they're needed for. So Jack is like, not going fishing, huh? Yeah.
Poor Guess Jack. Not. He just Person. Wants to go fishing. And exactly. then always gets sucked into heaven to save the world.
Exactly. So, you know where we have to go next.
Well, we have to go to the exposition room.
Yes, because now...
Yeah, we have to unpack everything that's happened since the teaser opening up to Jack being disappointed that he doesn't get to go fishing.
Well, that, and also we have to figure out why Jack can't leave now, right? There's a reason for it.
Right, yeah.
And that has to be exposition. So, turns out the Navy got a mayday from a Foxtrot-class Russian submarine. The crew was attacked by a mechanical spider. I think that's what Davis explains. And they send in a boarding party, apparently, and they saw replicators, mechanical spiders. The crew was all dead. So they towed it into the harbor and quarantined it. Not sure that was a good idea, but okay. Yeah, they didn't know any better. And Jack,
yeah, they should have asked.
Jack is like the same opinion. He's like, as an expert, I'm saying blow it up.
Which seems pretty prudent right now.
Yeah, good idea. Because he knows what those little buggers can do. And if one of them survived, then that's... but Carter is like, she's not sure it's enough. Like, she's like, just blowing it up. I mean, they were pretty... I mean, they survived re-entry into the atmosphere and all of that, so...
Right, yeah. Huh. So,
like, so Jack is like, nuke it? They're like, yeah, not possible.
Probably effective.
Effective, maybe, but also not possible because the Russians saw the Asgard ship, the entry of the Asgard ship, which explains the thing that I earlier mentioned. The Russians are not stupid.
Of course,
they saw something happening. So, plan.
Russians saw the Asgard ship.
Mm-hmm.
When we got that line... Which, of course, it makes sense they did.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, this opens the door for some interesting new political intrigue in the series.
Oh, yes.
Because now the Russians, they've seen that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Other world powers probably saw it too.
Maybe, potentially.
So.
Yes.
You know, so at some point... Countries are going to start digging deeper into what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start asking questions.
Yeah.
So we could have this whole new political angle going on, which could be really interesting.
Yes. And you know who would be perfect for that?
Let's get me some Mayborn action going on, people.
Well, actually, that wasn't the guy I was thinking of, but Mayborn.
Oh, wait, Kinsey. Holy forking shirt balls. Could we get Kinsey back, finally?
I don't know. Either one are good options. Like, they would be perfect for some you know, behind closed doors, secret shit. So
They would. And and I'm sure you're not picking up on this. I'm still pretty raw about the way we got screwed over with the whole Kinsey character.
We know.
Okay.
Good. Alternative plan, because Jack is like, well, the one thing that was working was we could shoot them. That seemed to work. Our weapons seemed to work quite well against them. So alternative plan, they're just going to go on board and just shoot all of the buggers. Or actually, shoot all of them and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Good plan. So Davis is going to talk to the Pentagon to get it approved. But while that is happening, we get an unscheduled off-world activation. Surprise. So that, I don't think you saw coming.
No.
You were thinking, okay, we're going to focus on the Russian thing and all of that. So they go to the gate room or the control room. Computers are down. Like the gate activates and then just everything crashes.
Right. Yeah.
Windows. They didn't install the Windows update.
Open.
They didn't install the Windows update and everything crashed.
Or maybe they did.
Or maybe they did. That's why it crashed. Could also be. But no, I think they installed the Thor update.
That would make sense.
Yes, because Thor walks through, he's doing well, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I owe you and your team a great debt of gratitude for saving my life." But that's not why he is there. He is there because he needs their help. He's not there to help. They were like, hey, like, you know, we have this replicator problem here and we could use your help. And he's like, yeah, unfortunately cannot help. He has no ships available, which is also why he walked through the gate and didn't just fly here and ship, which is what they usually would be doing. You know, I don't think we've ever seen him go through gate. I think they usually usually fly in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So he's actually here to help them, to ask them for help. And with that, the computers are back. Magic.
So this whole discussion that they have about how SG-1 can help the Asgard.
Yeah.
I loved the whole thing. Richard Dean Anderson has the best lines in this scene.
Yes, he does. I have it even verbatim. Because okay. Thor says, the Asgard have tried to stop them, so the replicators. You have demonstrated their weakness may be found from a less sophisticated approach. We are no longer capable of such thinking. And Daniel is like, wait a minute, you're actually saying that you need someone dumber than you are? And Jack says, you may have come to the right place.
Which is really funny.
Yeah, which is also, I think, a really good point. Sometimes your thinking is too advanced and you're thinking too complicated, right? We've probably all experienced that like the solution is simple and easy, but we're thinking too complicated because that's the way we approach things, right? Now think you're an alien race that is millions of times more advanced than humans, and you're trying to fight against an equally very advanced technology, kind of. Yeah, sometimes you do need someone dumber than you to point out the obvious solution.
But you know, it's not always dumber. Sometimes it's about someone that has a less technical or less sophisticated approach.
Yeah, doesn't understand all the technical details, but then also doesn't get bogged down in all the technical details, right? So, unfortunately, SG-1 is needed on Earth, right? Because we have the whole replicator thing. But Carter is like, well, I can go. And O'Neill is like, I don't know, Carter. You might not be dumb enough.
He gets the best lines.
Yes, and Carter smirks a little bit, and then she's like, I think I can handle it, sir. I like that. There's a backhanded compliment here. Like, Jack thinks Carter is pretty damn smart. And he's right.
And he's right.
And she sees it. She's like, oh, that was a nice thing to say.
So this messes up one of my predictions. Because kind of, yeah.
It also makes one of your other predictions come true earlier than you thought. Because you thought that would happen, that we would help. We would go to the galaxy and help them, and we do that in the very first episode.
It turns out we do it right now. Yes. Yeah. And my prediction that I got wrong, but in a weird way is sort of right, but I can't take credit for it being right at all, is Sam has to come up with the save the day solution.
Yes.
But she's not doing it in the way that I predicted. It's So... This went in a direction I was not expecting at all for this episode.
Which is great. That's what we want. It's like you thought it was going one way and it's going a different way. So this is the point where we split off and have A and B plots again. You know, the old staple of Stargate episodes. A plot, B plot. I don't know which one is which. It's probably A and A plus right now. Because they're kind of both interesting at different points. So hard to
tell. I'll agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. But we start out... Let's say first the Asgard thing takes the front and takes the A, because until we get to the submarine and actually action there, not a lot happens. So it starts out with the harbor, Davis and the rest of SG-1 are there. They're getting ready to go on board. Daniel will stay outside and monitor. Makes sense because he's definitely not a military man that would storm into Russian submarines and shoot replicators. He can do that in a pinch if he has to, but it's not his strong suit. And they have, you know, we're on Earth, so we have people that can do that.
I have a hypothesis about this.
Okay.
So Daniel is going to monitor.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
And you're right. Him going into the submarine doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think that what they had originally wanted was Sam and Daniel go with Thor, Mm-hmm. But Michael Shanks is still recovering from his appendix.
Yeah.
So they gave him a completely different thing where he sits down almost through the whole episode.
That probably makes sense. He was probably still not 100%. Like, I mean, we talked about that. And you're right. I mean, the episode was probably shot not too far apart. So also, I think the other part is Michael Shanks also voices Thor. Right. So, I mean, even a scene, like basically the scene before this, where he talks himself.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's kind of funny.
But also that means that he has anyway a lot to do because he's basically in all the other scenes with Carter. So at least as a voice. So there's a lot of work there. And maybe that's also part of it. If he had also been in that scene, then it's even more for him to do. Right. So this is maybe good. It's also good Carter gets her own thing for once.
Yeah. And I enjoy her being able to do her own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we go to the Asgard homeworld on a ship. And we learn there's a new ship that Asgard have constructed, and it has a very surprising name.
And I laughed out loud.
Good. Me too. Or when I watched it originally. It's the O'Neill. Yeah, Asgard have a thing for Jack. So
they do.
They do. So their most advanced ship. Thor says it's the most advanced technological Asgard creation yet. It is the first Asgard vessel designed solely to fight in a war against the replicators. And it is the O'Neill.
And Sam's like, well, giddy up, let's get this in the battle.
Yeah. And why are we Thor's here? Like, not on that ship. Well, it's not ready. So we're going to take a different ship and join the battle. And because no pressure, he's like, for the sake of the Asgard, we must not fail.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Sam.
Carter also says, no pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on her being dumb enough to solve this.
So Sam is the first human to travel between galaxies in the Stargate series.
No.
No?
Jack did.
Oh, that's right, because he ended up on the other Asgard ship.
Correct.
That's right.
No, he ended up on the Asgard planet when he got the knowledge of the ancients downloaded in his onto
the planet. I thought that was a ship, but the planet. Okay.
I think it was a planet from what I remember. But anyway,
regardless, yes. I was wrong.
Yeah. But she's the first one to travel there on a ship.
And she's the first one.
They went also through the gate. You're right. Never mind. They went through the gate. Didn't go through the ship.
And she's the first smart one to go through.
Yeah. She's the first human on an Asgard ship in the home galaxy. That definitely her.
That's okay. Well, awesome. Go Sam.
Small group. Go Sam. So, we go back to the harbor. They're going on board, and you can already hear the clicking noise of replicators, which I like. Did you notice the low-res helm cam footage? Very, very late 90s, early 2000s.
When I saw that, my first thought was, I need to see when Aliens came out, because that was a really effective tool that they used in that movie.
Yes.
So I was thinking, they're copying that style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure they copied that style. It is very effective. As I said, it also, you see all the technology, like the CRT monitors and all of that, that's very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would look very different today. Also, way better resolution on the cameras and all of that. So, we get very intense scenes as they're going through that ship. As we mentioned, part of it was a set and part of it was a real ship. I'm pretty sure that when they were going through the hallways and whatever, all of that was real. I think the sets were the bigger things where they did stuff, where the bugs were and all of that. Jack notices that they're different color. Important.
Yeah. And this is where I wasn't doing a good job of picking up what you were putting down when you're asking me about predictions.
Good. Yeah.
But as soon as he said, oh, they're a different color, I'm like, yeah, Patrice was basically spoon feeding that to me.
I didn't get it. I just wanted to see if you could come up with that. Yes. So yes, they're a different color. We'll learn soon why. But the first thing we get is eventually they make it down to the heart of the ship or whatever, wherever that is. Anyway, there's a big bug producing more bugs. That's what we see on the camera. Right? It's producing little blocks and then replicators get turned. Blocks get turned into replicators.
When one Lego brick really loves another Lego brick.
Pretty much. And actually a bunch of others. Yes. And a bunch of others. Yes. Pretty much. And then, of course, the old trope, someone in the team has to panic and shoot a bug. And then, of course, that activates the murder bug squad. That's what I called it.
Yeah, well, because we have to have the big gun battle fighting the murder bugs. So there we go. Yeah. That's how it happens.
And I hated that trope and I hated that scene because I'm like, those are professionals. Yes, they've never seen replicators, but they've been in fights before. I don't think anybody would panic like that.
I agree.
Yes. Good. But okay, the plot required it, so it happened. I think the guy gets killed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, that's what he gets for...
panicking.
Yep.
So we go back to the Asgard ship. Tor is explaining tech things about the replicators to Carter, something about Curon pathways and whatever. But it's beyond even Carter's understanding. She doesn't even understand the basic technical principles of it, the basic physics of it.
What's a Curon?
Exactly. And Tor tries to explain it. It's like, yeah, no, nothing. None of that made sense. And then Tor is like, well, maybe that's the wrong approach. The Asgard would never invent a weapon that propels small weights of iron and carbon alloys by igniting a powder of potassium nitrate, charcoal, and sulfur. A.K.A. a gun.
Right. Which, I mean, talk about a crazy way to describe a gun.
Yes.
But it's also accurate.
It's also accurate. It's also very Asgard because they're very sciencey and heady and technical. Mm-hmm. So Carter's like, okay, let's forget about the Kirons and try to put that in terms that I can understand. Each block is like its own individual computer capable of communicating with other blocks. Multiple blocks come together to form bugs and other things in order to perform tasks, ultimately for the purpose of replicating. Yeah, nicely put. Mm-hmm. So Carter started asking, so like, I guess we can't have a replicator here because that would be dangerous, but do you have a couple of blocks? Well, it turns out they can do a little bit better because they can do a very realistic simulation.
Right. One that even reaches out and snaps at Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. Very realistic. But still a replication. Simulation. Yeah. We go back to the harbor briefly. SG-1 is back. And they have to blow up the ship. Still the plan. Mm-hmm. And Fraser is also there and she digs out a replicator part out of Teal'c's back, but it's corroded. Hint, 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 hint. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it yet, but that's the next scene then after that. But you can clearly see it is corroded.
Right. And so when she tells us that, I'm like, yeah, okay. Now you're just rubbing it in that I didn't pick up what Patrice is putting down.
Yes. So, at the Asgard tip, Carter is concerned about Earth, of course, because she knows what's going on there. But she's also starving, which is, I loved it. I love this scene. This was funny.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic scene.
Yeah. So Thor replicates colored shapes. And he's like, I like the yellow ones.
And she's like, oh, great.
Oh, great. She tries one. I was like, how did Carter even think that what aliens in another galaxy can eat would even be at all compatible with her? But it just tastes awful.
Yeah, the look on her face.
So well done. She's like,
I'm assuming Either she's that good, yeah. Amanda Tapping.
or just that awful.
It, yeah.
There was she did really actually bite into something, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just styrofoam or something. There's bad news, though. The replicators have defeated the 5 Asgard chips and now are on the way to their planet. One of the planets.
Right. So now there's a replicator armada heading towards the planet.
Or something. Yeah. So back to the harbor, and now we get more interesting. It gets more interesting here. So Daniel has discovered that the new blocks are corroded. And since they're that makes sense because they're consuming the Russian submarine, so they're made out of Earth materials. So the replicators are not capable of creating advanced materials out of Earth materials. They just use whatever they have. They don't care. So that means they're vulnerable to Earth-based anything, right? Because we know a submarine can be destroyed on Earth, so we have the technology for that. So. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're corroding, it's not a very good material. So if they destroy the submarine, the water will just destroy them because corrosion, right? Except for one.
Right, the one from the Asgard ship.
Yeah, which was made out of Asgard materials. So they need to kill that one first before they can blow up the ship. Because they know the other bugs will not survive the explosion, but the mother bug, I called it, might.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Teal'c and Jack will go in again, but I need kind of a diversion to, make this happen. So they will go and kill Mom. That's what I wrote down.
Right. So they're going to kill Mom, and they're going to have set off a small explosion in another part of the ship to draw everything else away and.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they can reach it because they're pretty sure now that if they approach again, they will simply get swarmed by bugs.
Which seems reasonable.
Yes. So, back to Thor's ship. We get a timeline now, 2 hours until they reach the homeworld. Carter notes something. She's like, why are the bugs traveling so slow? They should be able to do like subspace, whatever, hyperspace, I think.
Right, like just be there almost instantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, almost, at least very fast. So why? And the explanation is they need energy to replicate. So Carter's like, right, they're not in a hurry. How did they get control of the ships in the first place? And Thor's like, the replicators are capable of modifying our own weapon technology beyond our understanding. So that's interesting. They not only... Mm-hmm. They not only kind of eat technology, they also seem to have a way more advanced technological and physical and whatever physics understanding than even the Asgard have. Because they can do things with the technology that even the Asgard don't understand. That's crazy. Explains also why they're so hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter's like, but I thought they learned everything from you. And Thor is like, well, it's possible they've gathered knowledge from sources other than the Asgard. Yeah, I mean, we don't know where they came from.
And I recall I did speculate about about that. So thank you, Thor, for throwing me a little bone there.
Yeah. So Carter is like, the bottom line is we can't touch them, but they could easily take over the ship or blow it to smithereens if they wanted. And Thor is like, yes. And Carter is like, so why don't they? And Thor is like, we have shown no signs of aggression, and this ship's technology is less advanced than the ships they currently occupy. So we're too dumb for them now, I guess. That is important. Yeah. But why?
Yeah.
See you later.
So, this whole thing is feeling very Borg right now.
Yes. Yeah, it kind of is. There's definitely a lot of parallels between the replicators and the Borg. I think we talked about that in the last episode.
Yeah.
So, but this is important. Like, they seem to be drawn to more advanced technology more than just any technology. Like, the more advanced, the better. Huh. Could that be? How about that? We're in the harbor. They're down the ship. They're placing charges. It starts diving. So there's also a clock here. Mm-hmm. Because we have to have a clock, of course. So they figured out how to handle very bad old technology. They can dive a submarine.
Yeah, well, I mean, they learn, so mm-hmm. it makes sense.
So, we go back to the Asgard ship. Carter is very tired by now. Like, yeah, makes sense. She had a lot of relaxation before, but I guess not anymore. And she's not made any progress. Because she is still approaching it from a science and technology background. She's still thinking about advanced weaponry and all of that. And Thor remarks, it is another advantage that replicators have over us. They do not require rest. It's true. Like the Borg.
Well, just like the Borg.
Kind of. The Borg do something like rest, but...
Yeah, kind of a recharge thing. But yes.
But Carter's like, they have to eat, though. And they are what they eat. Hint, 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 hint.
Mm-hmm.
And the new ship has a new fancy schmancy hull. So Carter mm-hmm. has an idea. If they can get the replicators to chase it, and that ship is everything they are looking for, it will look like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? And then she wants to blow it up, which Thor does not understand. He's like, but it's not completed.
Yeah, and why would we blow up this ship?
Why would we blow up a ship, and why would we use a ship that is not completed? But Carter, I think Thor says, Major Carter, you're suggesting that we destroy the most advanced Asgard vessel ever created before it even finished. And
she's like, Carter's
yep, exactly. And he still doesn't believe her. It's the most powerful weapon, so they don't want to take the risk. Pretty typical, right? Very advanced alien race. Hubris plays a role. They're like this is the best weapon we've ever created against the replicators. Like, why would we destroy that? Sounds like a bad idea.
Right. But he's thinking like an Asgard, not like a dumb human.
Correct. So we switch this up real quick. There's more bugs and stuff happening. It's not super important. Going through corridors, all of that.
Oh, I totally forgot that scene was even in there.
Carter's still arguing with Thor, and she says, the whole reason that I'm here is because you want me to suggest a strategy that you would never think of. You keep trying to defeat them by building better technology, and they keep absorbing it, becoming more advanced. You have to use that against them. You know that they'll go after the O'Neill because it's the most advanced ship that you have. They'll think that you're trying to keep that from them. They won't expect you to blow it up. The tactic that they've never seen before. Otherwise, you will just stand here and watch them invade your world. I'm sorry, maybe it's just a really stupid idea, but isn't that why I'm here? And that convinces him. Yeah, she was there for the stupid idea. I mean, it took her a while to figure that out, right? Because she was doing the same thing that the Asgard were doing. She was thinking about, I have to understand the technology, I have to understand the behavior, I have to build better technology to defeat them, all of that. And the solution, at least for now, it's probably not a long-term solution, but for now the solution is simply be dumber. Do something mm-hmm. unexpected. Blow them up.
Yeah, and yeah, the unexpected part is so mm-hmm. critical in the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And
So that convinces Thor, and that's what they're going to do. Meanwhile, on the sub, we've reached the mother bug. And Jack throws a grenade. I think it was Jack.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, and that destroys the surrounding human material bug part, but still mm-hmm. leaves the original bug, right?
Energy. Right, we have one purple bug mm-hmm. and all the gray bugs.
Yes. So very easy, shoots it, done.
These shotguns that they're using got a lot of use uh-huh. in these two episodes.
Correct. Finally. So, then they want to leave again. They're like, okay, let's exit. And shit, they get locked in. The bugs basically bugged, locked, closed, whatever, the area. And yeah, they're approaching.
Those damn bugs.
And the anchor line just snapped.
Right, so, and...
Yeah.
So, okay, so... Actually, I think... I missed a scene that I wanted to complain about because I was okay. thinking it was here, but it was earlier. There's a point where they're doing the camera things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's on Jack's camera.
Yeah.
And they're talking to him.
Yeah.
From, you know, like Daniel's talking to him.
Yeah.
And so Jack turns and looks to his own camera, which is on his head.
No. He took it off. I remember that. He actually,
in this scene,
think,
he takes it off.
Oh, what's that?
It's
before?
In the earlier scene. He's still wearing his helmet.
Okay.
Yeah, and this one, yeah, you see him take it off, and he holds it out and starts talking to the camera. Yeah,
he orders them to blow it because they cannot escape. They're getting overrun by human bugs, human material bugs. So Jack is like, "Okay, this is it. Just blow it. Like it's like." Kill me, but it's worth it because, like, otherwise the world will be overrun by bugs, and we don't want that.
Makes right, sense. And he also says something about, I'd rather be blown up than torn apart by these bugs.
Yes. So, in the Asgard galaxy, the O'Neill is launched, and the replicators end up chasing it, and we get, like, a computer animation where, like, it enters the hyperspace and the other ships follow like ducks in a row, and then it blows up and the other ships go boom, 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 and they're gone.
That was a very clever way to save a lot of money on special effects.
And time. Yes. We get a cool scene because Carter hugs Thor. Very human. And Thor is not amused.
No, apparently, contact like that is not an Asgard thing.
No. He's very uncomfortable with it. He doesn't say anything, but you could clearly tell he's very uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Thor is like, "It was your stupid idea, Major Carter."
Which is a very funny line.
Yes. So, back on the submarine, they're still shooting. We get finally, I think they agree, okay, we're going to destroy the ship. We're going to blow it up. The Dallas fires torpedoes. I think it was mentioned before, just never important. It's a direct hit. And last second, we see Jack and Teal getting beamed away. And we get a funny scene with Daniel. Because he's like, they're okay.
which is great.
that was a great scene. He was like stammering, and the others were looking at him like he's crazy now because he saw what happened and the others, I guess, didn't or something. And he was like, they're okay.
Well, and he also understood what happened.
Yeah, because he saw the Asgard beam, so he knows, okay, this is what happened. So Jack on the Asgard team is like, "Now that's timing." Saved by Asgard beam, I guess. And then Carter explains, it's like, the Asgard had a big new ship, the O'Neill. And Jack is like, "Oh, yeah." And Carter's like, "But we had to blow it up." And Jack is like, "Oh." and we got a nice scene. Thor is like, "One day we shall repay you by helping to fight the Goa'uld. Saving one Asgard planet was a small victory, O'Neill. The conflict with the replicator stretches across my galaxy. Major Carter's strategy worked this time, but the replicators are very intelligent. It may not work again." Yeah, I doubt it. They would work again. They're too smart for that. "However, now there's hope where once there was none," which is a nice way of saying it.
Yeah, and Thor added some credibility to one of my other predictions.
Yeah. And Carter's like, "Well, if you ever need any more dumb ideas, you know where to find me." And Jack is like, "Yeah, hey, listen, drop by any time. In fact, I'll take you fishing. I'd love to do that. There's this lake in northern Minnesota where the bass grow that big."
And, But Thor's not having any of it.
No, he just not beams him out. He just beams him out and then leaves. The leaving, by the way, was a reuse of previous episodes where they used the same ship leaving Earth animation.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's the end. So, of a very eventful, very funny episode.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job of balancing the action and the humor.
Yeah, they kind of did. I mean, it was a more action-heavy, right? We get shooting on Russian submarines. We get shooting off, kind of blowing up of escort ships. We get all of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of action, but it's also, yeah, good balance with some comedy. And
yeah, I agree. We didn't get Mayborn.
Yeah,
disappointed. But we did get the Carter team up.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be with Thor.
Yeah, but the Carter team up you wanted.
I did want the Carter team up. Yep. Mm-hmm. I just thought it would be with Mayborn, but no, that's okay. And and they did end up having to do battle on a military ship. I just had that completely wrong. Too,
yeah, you thought it was an American ship. It was a Russian one. Yeah, you got. I mean. Let me go back real quick and have a quick glance at your predictions. So what did you say for this one? Surviving replicator will start replicating. Well, duh.
Right. That one's just a gimme. Yep.
Yeah. SGC will become aware of it. You said satellite data anomaly and will have to contain the infestation. Well, kind of. The awareness was, well, we found us up. It contacted us, but okay. The tech that Mayborn has acquired will be important. It will be used in a team up in a new way to build an anti-replicator bomb. Nope.
Although the O'Neill became the anti-replicator bomb, but nope.
Yeah. The government will want to recover debris and will send a military ship, and the replicator will go on it and infest it. It wasn't the government you thought of, but I think in general, in principle, this was correct.
Yeah, my intent was the U.S. government. It did turn out to be the Soviet. Well, yeah. At that point, the Russian government.
Russian government. They will use Earth-based materials to build alien tech. Nope. Kind of not.
No, I mean, because they built replicators themselves, are not, but that's not.
Yeah, the replicators are not alien tech or Asgard tech, actually. SG-1 will return back through the beta gate. Yeah, okay. Thor was treated off-world, off-camera. We may not even see Thor in this episode. Well, we actually did see him quite a lot.
Quite a bit.
Got even hugged. Deck and Teal'c on the ship fighting, yes. Sam will spearhead the bomb development. Danny will contribute some research knowledge. Minimal because of Michael's appendicitis. Kind of.
It's...
Kind of.
Yeah, the research knowledge he contributed, and I'm really stretching with this one, is, hey, look, they're rusty. Yeah.
Yes, but the reasoning is probably still correct. Yeah, so you didn't do too bad, I would say. Kind of different, but kind of the principal ideas were going in the right direction.
It's, you know, at this point, I get... the formulas that they use for some of the episodes, which is not to say the episodes are formulaic.
No, but you understand how the writers are thinking, and that helps you. But I mean, you did not see the whole, at least not in this episode, the whole Carter Asgard thing.
Nope. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, and we got a first glimpse, like a first real glimpse at the galaxy of the Asgard.
Yeah. Right. So that was
more
cool.
than just the one room that Jack had been in before. Like we've got to fly around a little bit and saw like shipyards and saw ships and all of that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And we did get Thor teasing that one of my other long term predictions is a thing when he said that one day they'll help Earth fight the Gould.
One day. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool. Any other parting thoughts? Like, it sounds like you did really enjoy this episode.
I did enjoy this episode. This season opener was so much better than last season opener. Like,
okay, that is not very hard to be honest. Because the last season opener was such a bad one.
Yeah, it was very disappointing. This one, however, mm-hmm. was a lot of fun. It was exciting. Mm-hmm. There were tense moments. They wove in the humor, mm-hmm. The right amount at the right times. And this one, it didn't feel disjointed with A story and B story, or A mm-hmm. story and A1 story.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job, and the places where there's scenes that I forgot, it was those little interstitial jump points.
Yeah.
Where it's like, the other thing's still happening. Let's go back to the story we were telling.
Which they had to do for two reasons. One, they have to push the other story slightly ahead. So that's not so, oh, by the way, now we're back to the other story thing. Mm-hmm. But also it's always good, like when you're in one scene, to kind of break it up a little bit and get a little breather before you go back.
Yeah. So, I thought this was a really well done episode, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of fun watching this one.
That's good. Me too, I have to say. It's definitely one I remember fondly, both episodes, and one of my favorites. So, makes sense.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
That leaves us, I don't think there were any morals or meanings or messages that we could discern other than sometimes a dumb idea might be the good idea.
our own hubris can be our downfall.
That's true. Yes, that is true. Sometimes you're too advanced.
Teal can need help with with his fashion sense.
That might be true, actually. Christopher Dutch as well, my opinion. Anyway, we should then, I think, talk about our Chevron ratings. So what are your thoughts? Is this a 10? I don't know.
We don't have that many chevrons.
Yeah, it's true. We only have 8. So.
This one is a solid 7 for me. The reason it's not an 8 is because we've had 8 episodes, mm-hmm. 8 Chevron episodes before, mm-hmm. and there's something special that really, really sets those apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this one is a very solid 7, and it would be easy for you to convince me to turn it into an 8.
But I'm not going
to. I'm going to give it a 7.
I'm not gonna. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing where I'm like, oh, this is whatever bad, or this is why it doesn't deserve an 8, all of that. It's just, while it's one of my favorite episodes, I also don't, it's not a very complicated episode. It's not a very highly complex, super gripping episode. It is interesting, it's fun, there's fun storylines, but it's not complicated. And I know stuff that's coming. I know stuff that I'm more excited about. And as you said, 8 is very special. Mm-hmm. So I have to give it a 7. Very solid, as you said. Like, there's no doubt in my mind it's a 7. Like, it's like solid 7. Like, good, but it's not. Yeah, it's not that. Good.
And
yes.
And I'm sorry, I forgot what you said the other rating, or the rating for 8, it was?
8.5. IMDb rating was 8.5. Okay. Solid 8.5. And we've had 9s, I think. So I think mirrors what we're seeing. Solid, good episode. Nothing wrong mm-hmm. with it. 4 season opener, probably the best so far. I don't think we've had as good a season opener. I mean, the end of season or beginning of season 2 was maybe also quite good, but I think more predictable what's going to happen.
Yeah. This I'm with you. This was the most solid season opener they've had so far.
Yeah. All right. That means we're done with this episode, with the small victories we got. Now we're going to switch over to the other side, because that's the title of the next episode of SG-1. And I'm going to look at the German title if I have it in here. Let's see. See if that's a spoiler. The other side. No, I'm not going to tell you. It's almost a proper, it's almost a translation, but not quite. And
okay.
It might give something away, or it might give you hints at what it could
be. All right. Then, okay, the other side. Okay, here's my my prediction on this. The entire episode is done from the perspective of the natives on the planet that SG-1 goes to.
Okay. Interesting. I will write that down. So the entire episode is done from the perspective of the natives of the planet they go to. Okay, sure. I'll write that down and then we'll see. We'll see what you think once you've watched it.
I'm assuming I'm going to laugh at how wrong I am.
I mean, that's usually how it goes, so I don't know if that's right.
Right.
Yes, that would be any surprise to you if that was what happened. Yeah, you will have to watch it and see what you will do. I can give you one hint without spoiling anything. You will see a familiar face.
That doesn't surprise me, and that could mean one of two things: a recurring character is back, or there's an actor that's guest starring this time. And because, as we have seen in so many episodes, people that we know from other sci-fi franchises end up doing guest spots on SG-1.
That does happen. Yeah. So. Which one it is, you will have to watch it to figure that one out. Is it a person we've seen before on this show, or is it a person we've seen from another show? Who knows?
Well, either way, I'm sure I'll be pleasantly surprised.
You will definitely be pleasantly surprised, I can tell you that. Good. I think then all that's left is to close this chapter, blow up the O'Neill. And tell people where they can find out more about what you're up to and what you're doing.
Okay, well, social media's Jay Gamut on pretty much everything. Most active on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. And then I'll pick a couple shows. How about The Context Machine, the show I do with Brian Chaffin, and Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live.
Perfect. Yeah, both. There's more. All of them really good shows. Yeah, you can find, as you mentioned, British Tank Network, Big Show, Mac Show, with you. We're there. And everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. If you want to reach out to us and let us know, like, how did you enjoy this season opener? Was it really the best we've had so far? Where do you see this season going? Could also be a question. Send us an email, for example, to hello@retrorewatch.com. You can also send us a message on social media. We're on Blue Sky @retrorewatch.com, and we're on Mastodon @retrorewatch@techhangout.social. Yeah, and with that, thanks for listening, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.